It's a Riggs and Allie rewind, you know, in case you missed it the first time.
On the phone, welcome to Riggs and Allie, to the show, Wisconsin's Lieutenant Governor, Mandela Barnes. Sir, good morning, and thank you for being on the program. We appreciate it.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me. Thanks for taking the time to have this conversation.
It needs to be done. It really does. In a station of like ours, we really are breaking format today. We're kind of pausing the show and pushing everything aside and saying, look, we got to have these really honest, blunt conversations with people about real issues that have been a problem for much longer, well before George Floyd, long before this. And this is just seems like the straw that broke the camel's back with America and with the whole community. So how are things in your world, being the right-hand man of Tony Evers and just being in the Madison aspect of it? How are things in your world now?
Yeah, things are very busy. You know, when I first got elected, I talked about the need for us to promote equity and sustainability. And a little background for people who may not be familiar with me: before I ran for office in 2012, when I ran for state representative, before that, I was an organizer for a group called MICA. It's an interfaith social justice organization. We tackled the issues like racial justice, jobs and economic development, education, immigration reform, and treatment instead of prison. Some very core central issues that impact Milwaukee or impact the entire state of Wisconsin, but people weren't necessarily talking about as much as they should or were informed. So that was the goal, to go out in the community, to have conversations with people, to talk about, you know, the big challenges that we face. You know, Wisconsin is an incredible place, but we are deeply, deeply challenged. And it's up to us to solve these issues we're dealing with, whether you're physically near the problem or not, because as you see, when these conditions get to a certain point, they bubble up and everybody becomes affected. And another thing I would say that we're seeing here, you said the straw that broke the camel's back, we're dealing with so many other things as well. Now, don't forget, COVID-19 is still out there.
Yes.
And there's a disproportionate rate of black and brown people in this state and this country who are bearing the brunt and seeing the majority of deaths of COVID-19. And we have that topped with the economic impact that the coronavirus has brought on this country and on this state. And then the racial tensions that come up when another unarmed black person is shot. I mean, or not even shot, just mishandled by police and killed, intentionally mishandled by police officers, and his life was taken in front of so many people. Like, and these things have been happening, like you said. The thing is, there weren't always cell phone cameras.
Yeah.
We've been talking about these things. Right. We've been talking about this for generations.
Yep. Right.
And now that something is so grotesque, or people see that it's so grotesque because it was caught on camera, that brings tension. It reminds people of the last time it happened, the last time it happened, the last time it happened, where there is very little recourse. You know, it took a while before that officer to get arrested. I mean, before him, there was Ahmaud Arbery, who was killed by vigilantes while he was out for a run. You had Breonna Taylor, who was in her own home, who was shot and killed, and they weren't even at the right house.
Yeah.
She wasn't even a person they were looking for.
Yeah.
In Louisville, Kentucky, and a lot of people forget about that. So it's easy for people to get frustrated. And, you know, sometimes you think, like, you know, how hadn't this happened sooner? When you look at uprisings in other countries, and, you know, I hate the level of destruction. You know, it is as a leader in the state, is the last thing you want to see, but we have to work diligently to fix the conditions that got us to this point.
Yep.
We really appreciate you being on the show today. We are talking to Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and I loved it how you said, you know, before you were in office, you worked a lot with social injustice. And one of the questions we had from listeners, specifically white listeners, because race is relevant as we're talking about this, was how can we help? What do I do if I'm in the suburbs? You know, what do I do, basically, besides just have a conversation? What are your suggestions for that?
Yeah, there's so much. And I, you know, a friend of mine on Twitter yesterday, she talked about how she has, I mean, she gets it, but she said, you know, she has a lot of racist family members, but is that a surprise to anyone? And I quote tweeted and I said, you know, and the message wasn't to her, it was to other people, especially a lot of folks, a lot of allies who are taken to the streets, is you should break the glass at the kitchen table before going down and breaking glass and, you know, out in the streets, because those are the most important conversations to have. the talks with your friends, and you know, you can translate this to anything. I talk about this when I go talk to folks about voting, and you talk to your friends, family members, and neighbors about it. Same goes with racism. You just talk to your friends, family members, and neighbors about it. Have these honest, hard conversations. I know they aren't easy, but they have to be had, because you see the result what happens when these conversations don't happen enough.
Yeah.
And I was looking on I live on the internet, I guess. But it's like
we all do.
I came across something about 75 things white people can do for racial justice, and they include, you know, just a lot of it's a Medium post. You know, they talk about whether your police force currently employs evidence-based police de-escalation training, you know, and people, you know, if friends are educators, are teachers, make sure that, you know, they are talking about, you know, relevant issues. Think about yesterday was the 99th anniversary of race riots in Oklahoma. And I was also looking on the internet, and a friend of mine who was a history teacher found out about it that day, yesterday.
And he didn't know about it.
Wow.
And so it's like the history of what's been going on in America for so long, the whole story doesn't get told.
We painted the picture we wanted.
The whole story got told, regardless how painful it is and how it may make the nation look. We have to learn from those lessons, and people should be able to learn. People need to learn from those lessons in order for us to not repeat the same mistakes, in order for us to be very conscious about thinking about how do we make sure that we never get back to that again. Because the last thing you want to see, you know, we pull through this generations from now, people forget about everything that happened, and we get right back to this place again. And I don't think feel very fragile right now, because they are very fractured. But I do also look at this as a moment that we can rebuild, that we can look at things differently. Everybody was excited about 2020, thinking about, oh yeah, we're gonna go into 2020 with this clear vision. It all seems so perfect.
Yeah.
But now I think folks should look at it as the need for us to have a completely different vision. We need to reexamine how we look at society, how we approach racial justice, how we look at our economy, how we look at healthcare, how we look at environmental issues, and
it's time for reform, basically, right?
everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
We're talking with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. On the other side of Allie's question, who said, what can we do? What should we make sure that we don't do? Because so many times this happens, and we see these videos, and we see it publicized, and we see it getting out of control. There's protests, and then it seems like the next thing happens in our ADD society, our entitled society. We go, oh, well, here's something else, shiny red ball. Let's start worrying about this. Let's jump on this other hashtag.
If it doesn't affect them directly, they don't care.
So what are things that we should not do to make sure that this doesn't repeat itself and that this conversation stays and we can create change? What should we not do? Like, what's been the problem in the past?
Don't ignore the things that don't impact you directly. I mean, I think that's the most simple way that I can put it. You know, I think about the issues that are important to me, the issues that, you know, I will go to bat for, and a lot of them don't directly impact me. Like, I am when it comes to issues of immigration, I don't have any immigrant family members. I don't come from an immigrant family. That issue is important because it helps us build a more inclusive, more solid, stable society. LGBTQ issues. I'm not a member of the community, but it is important for us to build a solid, inclusive, stable society that works for everybody, right? None of us live on an island, right? I don't think that point is clear enough to a lot of folks. You can't find yourself comfortable if the people around you are uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah. Right. Have you talked at all, we're talking to Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. Have you talked at all, I was curious, to the governor of Minnesota? Did the governors talk? Because obviously the George Floyd situation in Minneapolis, and we're on the border. I was just curious if there was any interaction there.
Yeah, the governors do talk. I talk pretty regularly with the Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota. Illinois, Michigan, too. We all pretty much talk.
Okay.
Our state border.
Good. I was curious if you guys talked at all and how that affected.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. When we talk, we vent. Yeah.
I bet.
Yes, because you're in charge. You are the leaders. Yeah, you're part of the leadership. And so, yeah.
We'll take it. We need to take.
All of us, this is our first term, too, all of us.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with you. We have a couple more questions for you with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And if you have one, you can text to 414-799-1037. We will read those. It's next on 103.7 KISS FM. On the phone with Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, having some open and honest conversations about the state of the state of the country, the state of the city. Mr. Barnes, I had a question for you involving like all the protests that have gone on here as of late. Obviously, that's the big headline in the news.
Last night was even bigger. The president came out and said he was going to send the military. I mean, a lot happened last night.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get too political, but we have to talk about some of what's going on.
Yeah.
So how are
things being handled from the state level as far as you were involved with the protesting? And there are some bad apples that are spoiling it, that are looting. And it's sad that those people are getting the attention and distracting from the real issue. So how are you handling it from a state level?
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole bad apples piece, I'm really glad you brought that up, because that's a comparison people use with, you know, police departments. And folks want, you know, the nonviolent protesters, the ones that are actually getting the point across, to hold the other people accountable, the ones who are doing everything else. And it's about accountability, and that's what the peaceful, nonviolent protesters are looking for in cities and states across the country with police departments, is for the bad or the good cops to weed out the bad actors.
Yeah.
And it's funny because we're all looking for the same thing here.
Right. And we're saying, yes, exactly. Yes.
And from a state perspective, you know, I personally support people's right to protest. They should. People have very real concerns that should get out there, and I wouldn't be here in this position if I weren't someone who was out there protesting first. So completely understand, and I just want to remind people again, like, as devastating as it is to see a lot of the destructive things happening, it got to that point. It didn't get to that point out of nowhere. People didn't just wake up and say, "Well, I'm just going to go break some stuff. I'm going to destroy some things."
Yeah.
We're looking at generations of mishandling of communities, and there is the violence here, the police violence aspect, but there's also the other injustices that I talked about, you know, earlier, be it healthcare, be it education, be it jobs in the economy. These are real things that we have to deal with, we have to face, and people have to listen, elected leaders have to listen, and folks can get away for so long ignoring the plight and the struggles of these communities. And my role as Lieutenant Governor is the reason why I ran, is to talk about these issues that weren't being talked about, to push for the change that the protesters are calling for, whether they're protesting or not. The things that people have seen as a misapplication of government, and I'm using that term because it's easy for people to feel like their government isn't there, or isn't there for their best interest, isn't doing the things, or isn't being responsive to their needs. So you have people who are going without health insurance, and large companies, large corporations are getting these massive tax breaks that creates a system of inequality.
Mm-hmm.
And this type of inequality can't last. It's volcanic. These things have just been bubbling up for a really long time.
And people need to put that hurt and frustration and anger somewhere, which is kind of what we've been talking about in the community, and they're struggling. So here is Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is on the phone with us. Do you know in comparison, do we have more peaceful protesters than we do violent or looters when it comes to the state? Where are we at? Because you hear all kinds of things on the news that there's more peaceful and less looters, or more looters.
Absolutely more peaceful, and I've even seen, you know, videos of protesters who are working to stop looters, who are, you know, in Madison apparently, like, there was like it was a post curfew protest, but it was still nonviolent and it was peaceful, and I guess like an altercation happened because some people didn't want it to stay that way. And so some of the protesters holding the other ones accountable to, you know, try to stop it from happening. And this has been the case. And I've seen multiple videos where people were, you know, breaking out windows, but the organizers were working to try to stop it. And that is one thing too, because these things can be easily co-opted by some very malignant forces. And that's the last thing we also want to see, because there is a real message with this movement. There is a real end goal with this movement. And we don't need that to be disrupted. And I, you know, my message to all the organizers out there is to be safe, but also remain vigilant and be aware of who is trying to come in and take over and what message they're trying to send.
We're talking with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. You're involved, obviously, on the state level. You're the right-hand man to Tony Evers. What can be done from a legislation standpoint to help alleviate or to help create some change or help put things in the right direction? Just a year ago in Milwaukee County, Chris Abele and David Crowley, they worked to have racism declared a public health crisis in Milwaukee County. We're actually talking to him next hour. But what could be done at a state level, legislation-wise, if anything, and enforced to help move the needle?
Yeah, that was actually County Supervisor now, County Board Chair Marcelia Nicholson that pushed to get the racism declared as a public health issue. But accountability, again, like it comes back to that, to the word accountability. And there's so much, you know, legislation. There are so many ideas out there that people have already been discussing, like, you know, requiring officers to de-escalate situations, not allowing officers to choke or restrain a civilian, and not allowing those bad apple police officers to be able to transfer departments once they're fired for misconduct, because we do see that happening.
Oh, wow.
And also, you know, the partners, the people who stand by, because the one officer, Derek Chauvin, is the one who had his knee on the neck of George Floyd, but there were three other officers who let it happen, and they need to be held accountable as well. They are accessories to that crime.
Yeah.
And also, you know, there's you know, the independent review, which was a bill that we passed in the legislature when I was there, that required an outside agency to investigate officer-involved shootings rather than letting the department investigate themselves, because, you know, who's going to tell on themselves?
Yeah, so that's legislation you passed that's relevant.
Absolutely,
yeah. That's super
yeah.
relevant to the situation, yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly. And, you know, even having police departments to require officers to exhaust reasonable means before resorting to deadly force. And things like that, you know, the shoot-first mentality, whether it is ingrained or whether it's just, you know, what they do in person, you know, I think that we have to totally have our police departments reimagined and make sure that the officers that are coming in fully grasp the reality of, you know, the work that they're being involved in.
Yeah. Yes. I agree with all of that. And I did want to say, because I know we're limited on time, but we barely talked about COVID.
Yeah.
So I know we brought it up a little and we were talking about worrying about how that, you know, could affect everybody. Where are we at with that, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes? Because a lot of people are just kind of living their lives and we see the protesters getting together. Are you worried about any of that, or where are we at with all this?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I am very.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely worried about the potential spread of COVID because of, you know, because of large gatherings. I am 100%. And, you know, we're over 18,000 confirmed cases here in Wisconsin, and we are approaching 600 deaths.
It's still a thing that did just go away, by the way.
I know
you can lift safer at home all you want to, but you can't lift a virus that's still out there, still happening, still impacting people.
Not without a vaccine.
Right.
Is there
anything else, any other messages you would like to deliver to the community since you have Milwaukee, list the ear of Milwaukee right now, Lieutenant Governor?
Absolutely. We all have a role to play to fix this. And like I said from the beginning, the people who are out there protesting are working to make this country a better place. People aren't protesting because they want things to get worse. People are protesting because they are tired of the injustice and they want a city, a state, a nation that is equitable for everybody, one that offers opportunity. And we have to push it to get to that place because folks have asked for too long. People have cried out for help for too long. This isn't about driving wedges between communities. If anything, it's about bringing people together and showing them that our strength is with each other.
I agree. We're glad to have you in power. You're one of the leaders that I follow, that I look to, and I'm glad that we have you in our state to be there with Tony Evers.
I just need leaders to acknowledge it, and as long as, you know, they have to acknowledge it first, which a lot of them are, and then, you know, obviously make some changes, and we appreciate you and hope we go forward, not back.
That's
but,
man,
what
slogan,
a world
man.
We're living in, huh?
That is the state slogan, forward.
Yeah, what a world.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate you all, too. You know, thank you for what you're doing. You're doing a service, and you didn't have to do it. There are a lot of people who aren't doing it.
Well, we need to do it. We got to have these uncomfortable conversations to break through.
I'm a
create...
pissed off white person. Yeah. I admit it. I've been pissed off for years. I'm glad everybody else is getting pissed, but I want them to do it safely, and I want change, and I want to be rational and reasonable.
And I'm done with my white... With white silence, they're saying, you know what, that's just going to work itself out. That'll take care of itself. No, I'm done standing idly by because that makes you just as guilty and complicit. So I'm done with it too.
Good to hear.
Thank you very much, Mr. Barnes. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, and I'll talk to you all soon.
Riggs and Allie.
It's Riggs and Allie.
Weekday mornings and always on demand at 1037kissfm.com.